Hi, I'm an addict. My name is Jennifer. First, I want to thank the programming committee for even asking me to do this. Just to be asked to share at a workshop at a convention is an honor. To be asked to share anywhere, but knowing that this is going to be recorded and go out to other people, you know, it's really a huge thing for me. So when Joe first asked me to do this topic, my first thought was, where am I with my home group? I love my home group. There's a reason that our common bond out in Katy, which y'all should really come hang out at, is my home group. We are, we're not perfect. You know, we are a group of imperfect people trying to do the same thing that everyone that comes through the door hopefully is trying to do, you know, get clean and live a better way of life. And in that process, we get to help each other grow. And so that was where I kind of went with all of that. And then I read, because, you know, the committee did an amazing job of pulling things out of the literature and telling us where they came from. So I read the paragraph that Joe gave me, and what stood out in that, I'm just going to read a couple of sentences. We take pride in our group and are glad to see people recover in the atmosphere we help create, which falls in line with exactly where I was. You know, I love my home group, and I love that I get to watch people come through the door and hopefully stick around and grow and become who, you know, whoever their higher power needs them to be. The other paragraph sentence I want to read is, our willingness to act in a spirit of unity and service opens the door for all addicts who care to join us. Again, we're imperfect people that are trying to make up this this group that we call home, and we're doing it in the act in a spirit of unity. We may not always agree on everything because we're individuals. As individual human beings, we are not always going to agree on everything. But as long as we can come to a group conscience and agree on some things, then we are in a spirit of unity. And that's what's really important about a home group. Our common bond is probably the third or fourth home group I've had. I've been clean since 4/15/03. So, you know, I don't jump around. I take my commitment to my home group seriously because I don't do area service. I don't do regional service. I commit to my home group. I will do whatever needs to be done there. Our common bond does a lot of events. We do functions. I'm always available for those. To me, that's where I get to carry the message a little more close to my heart. You know, I'm more one-on-one with people, and I love watching newcomers come through the door. Holy cow, I love that. When we say in our readings, is there anyone that's, you know, at their first Narcotics Anonymous reading and people raise their hand, I'm up getting a newcomer packet because that's important to me. I want them to have the IPs. I want them to have the little white booklets, you know, the things that they can carry with them anywhere they go, because to me, that's what's going to hook them, you know, and then hopefully they'll come back and they'll share whatever they got out of that. So one of the IPs that we have is called the group. And so I knew I was going to grab it. There's like a whole little section in the group that's home group. I'm like, holy shit, this is really cool. Damn, that's literature's got me all kinds of covered. We call this our home group because it suggests a place where we fit in and belong. What? That's all I was ever looking for. I just wanted to fit in. You know, when I started getting high, I got high the first time when I was 14. When I started getting high, I thought, okay, these are my people. Well, you know, that, as you all know, that kind of waxes and wanes. That, you know, ebbs and flows. And I didn't really click to that until I came to Narcotics Anonymous, and the Phoenix group in Houston was my first home group. That's where people really started to accept me for who I was. Sorry, I got something in my throat. And they didn't expect anything from me. You know, even whenever I thought I fit in while I was using, someone always expected something from me. Always. It was never unconditional. So my first true experience with Unconditional was with my first sponsor. But then, and it just so happened that she was a member of Phoenix Group at the same time I was. So I got to experience unconditional love from my sponsor and a group of people who didn't even fucking know me. And it didn't fucking matter that they didn't know me. You know what I'm saying? Because they knew the path that I had been on. Even if we didn't walk in each other's actual footprints, we walked the same path because we're all still here. We make a commitment to our home group. Again, you know, that was one of the first things that went through my mind. You know, this is where I'm going to be doing my service work because I don't go beyond. So where do I feel comfortable doing that? Where do I feel like my voice is going to be heard, even though it's probably going to be different at times to the other voices in the room? I just want it to be heard. I don't care if my home group goes the way that I want it to do, if a decision goes the way I want it to go, as long as I'm heard. And I feel that. I can honestly say the home groups that I've had, I have felt that. I have felt heard. But in our common bond, I feel heard and loved through it, even though it's not maybe a common, a common thought, or, you know, people don't agree with me. I don't care as long as I'm heard. And the fact that I'm loved through it is bonus, you know, because who doesn't want to be loved, right? As the members mature, I say that because I'm maturing, so does the group. We learn to practice the spiritual principles of Narcotics Anonymous and all our affairs. Where else do I get to learn to do that? I get to come to any group. I can come to any group in Narcotics Anonymous because I've been to them all over the world. So I can come to any group in Narcotics Anonymous and practice principles. But there is nothing like practicing principles in a fucking group conscience. Right? Right? Because let me tell you, personalities. Everybody has a personality, and at different times they're going to get stronger and they'll be softer. I would love to sit here and tell y'all I'm always soft. I'm not always soft. I sometimes I'm heard strictly because I'm not soft, because I want to be heard. I want to be heard, and I'm going to make sure I'm heard. But I've learned by coming to meetings and participating in my home group's group conscience that I don't have to be loud, and I don't have to be harsh, and I don't have to be angry. I can just speak and it'll be heard by someone. And the someone may be the loud, harsh, angry person in the room that agrees with me, and then my message is carried, right? I don't have to do anything with that. It's just, it'll happen. I've come to believe that my higher power really does have my best interest at heart. And when I am in line with my higher power, everything else just kind of becomes not easy, but effortless almost. You know, I don't have to be angry, which I got some anger issues. They're way better now than they were when I first got clean. Ask my poor husband. But I don't have to be that angry person anymore. I don't have to be loud, and I don't have to be, you know, self-righteous about anything. You know, I get to sit back, say my piece, let it go, because it's not mine anymore. I've put it out there, and then see what happens with it. My home group, we're all different kinds of people. You know, there's no way. So Kari, who is chairing the meeting, she's one of my best friends, and she's in my home group. Does it even look like she's someone that I would even know in life outside of being in Narcotics Anonymous and sharing a home group with her? One, there's a huge age difference. So the fact that she even hangs out with me is like amazing. But, you know, two, there's just so many other differences. And we're just two examples. My home group, fortunately, is made up of all different kinds of people. So I still get to learn how to practice the principles that I learn in the steps, because if I'm not working steps, then what am I really doing? So the principles that I'm learning there, I get to go to the hang out with these people that I would probably have, my best friend, another best friend, you could not find two more opposite people on the face of the planet. There is nothing about us that's similar, but we are always at places together. You will see us. She's my road dog. We are always going places together, and we get along fabulously because we practice principles that we learn through the steps, but get to practice in our home group beyond compare to any other group. Now, that's not saying that I'm going to go to someone else's group anywhere else in Houston and be a total bitch. One, that doesn't feel good. I don't like that anymore. There was a time when it wouldn't have mattered, you know, even clean, you know, new clean. It didn't matter. You know, I don't care. You don't like me. That's your problem. Go talk to your sponsor. Well, at some point it becomes, well, why don't I go talk to my sponsor and figure out what's really going on? And then I get to figure out what principles to practice versus the character defects that I'm acting out on, because that's truly what happens. The character defects start to take over. And so the home group situation, and like I said, I've only had like three or four. I'm fortunate in that area because I commit to them. But all of the home groups that I've been in, so when I first got clean, I told you Phoenix was my home group. I would show up early, and the chairs would already be set up, right? They would already be out. And there was a home group member there, and he'd always look at me and go, okay, Jennifer, go fix those. Because, you know, control. You didn't do that right. I'm going to do that right. And so I would go in, and even though the chairs were already in the circle, I'd fix them because they needed to be perfect. You laugh because you know. That's an I understand laugh right there. But they had, and the thing is, my home group members, they understood and they loved me through that. They let me grow. And so even though control is still on my sixth step, it's been on everyone. The cool thing about that is I can see where the control has changed and it's lessened. And I don't, dude, my husband and my kid used to make fun of me. This is where that went. My Starbucks cups, you know, they got the little mermaid. The little sleeve had to line up with the mermaid, and the drink hole had to line up. That's where it was. Now I don't care. That shit can be all askew. I don't care. It's going to taste the same. But you couldn't have told me that then. And my home group members loved me through all of that fanatical craziness where I was still learning what the fuck's a spiritual principle? They would tell me gladly. And so I learned, I got to grow through that. And each home group that I've had, they helped me in some form or fashion. And the home group I have now, our common bond, you know, again, love me through the character defects. There are people in my home group that have less clean time than me, but I am very comfortable going to them and saying, hey, how do you do this? What are you doing to make this happen? Because they're going to love me through it. They don't look at me like, bitch, you got 19 years and you're asking me? Yeah, I am. Because we're all in Narcotics Anonymous to learn how to better our lives, to learn how to be something different than when we got here. And just because I've been here for a minute doesn't mean that I'm not still trying to achieve that. Because let me tell you, I still have character defects. I still need to practice those principles. Where am I going to do that? I practice them in here so that I can go out there into, you know, the big world. I don't want to say the real world because I'm more real in here than I can be out there sometimes. But I get to go out to the big world and actually put into practice the things that I'm learning in here. And I do that best most times at my home group, you know. It's where I get so honest, y'all. When I'm going through stuff, like ongoing stuff, I know they get tired of hearing it, but again, they love me through it. But that's where I go, because not everything's meant for a meeting. You know, some things I share only with my sponsor or with my sponsees. Not everything's meant for a meeting, but the things that are, I'm going to dump there because they're the people that know me. They're the people that are going to go, that's bullshit, girl. That's not what you shared last month, you know, and I'm going to be able to, they'll call me on that. Because let me tell you, there are personalities in my home group And I love that. You know, I'm not always the big personality. And so I love, even though in the moment I don't love it, I was just going to say, I love being called on my shit. I was going to lie to y'all. So let me just tell y'all right now. I'm learning to accept when I'm being called on my shit. That doesn't mean I like it, but when I can sit back and look at that, it's like, okay, yeah, you're right. So then I can go back to whoever called me and go, yeah, thank you for that. And I'm at a point now where I don't go, yeah, fuck you, when they're telling me. So I don't have to go back and make amends for that because, you know, a 10th step, you know. So my home group is like an anchor. It is a place that people know me. I said earlier, you know, I get up and I do newcomer packets whenever someone raises their hands. That's my people, my home group members even look at me. Don't do my thing, man. That's my thing. And, you know, I get to talk to those newcomers when they walk in after at the end of the meeting. I get to talk to them and I get to figure out what's going on. And, dude, I'm a crier. I'm not even going to lie. I'm a crier. So if one of them starts crying, I am so sympathy crying with them. I'm like, dude, let's find those napkins or the paper towels or whatever, because it's about to be a bawling fest in here. But that's that right there, that pain when they walk into my home group and I get to experience that with them. I get to remember because I'm removed from it for a minute, and I'm not even sponsoring any newcomers right now. I've got sponsees. Don't sit out there and judge. I got sponsees, but none of them are new, you know, new. And so I don't get to go through their steps with them and feel that, you know, that angst, that whatever. I mean, so I get it there in my home group by being a part of my home group and doing a service for and with my home group. I've noticed when I go to other groups and someone will announce that this is their first NA meeting or, you know, they're really new, I'm like looking around going, okay, who's going to get them some shit? You know, because I do it. Why don't y'all? You know, so if I don't see that happen, I will grab some IPs from that group and still talk to the newcomer because to me that's important. And, you know, that's one of the things that said, you know, we are glad to see people recover in the atmosphere we help create. Mm-hmm. How else do we do that? We greet the newcomer and then we help them grow. And it's not just the newcomer. Sometimes I am the person in that meeting that's got some serious pain going on and I just need people to love me through it. And that's why in my home group, I feel better about dumping my shit because they're going to know. Even if I don't share a whole lot, they're going to know and they're going to love me. They'll come up to me and greet me as if I were a newcomer after the meeting and let me know that I'm not alone. And right now it's really, my home group is so awesome right now. We have so many young in recovery people coming up through. And it's like, so I'm a huge cheerleader of the women. I love watching women recover because there's just not enough of us. And so I love watching the women recover, but every now and then there's like a group of guys that'll come through my home group and I'm like, fuck, I'm totally digging watching them too, because it's a totally different thing. And you know, some of them may struggle and go back out, but they come back and they still claim our common bond is their home group. And it's like, okay, that's, to me, it's because that's where they feel at home. That's where they feel comfortable. And it may just be because that's where I feel at home and that's where I feel comfortable. So, you know, if you're calling it your home group, you must be like me, right? They probably have totally different things, but in my mind, it totally works that way. And so that's how I'm able to connect, especially with the guys. You know, I don't know. So my first sponsor was super old school, you know, women with women, men with men. And I know that's not necessarily a thing anymore. And I get that. And I dig it, but you know, I still try to give the men their space. When they come in, you know, they don't know. I didn't know. You know, I've watched women walk in and they don't know. So what is it that makes me think that anyone that walks through that door is going to do, you know, that deer in the headlights look? You can tell who's new. You can tell. And so it's almost feel like a recruiter sometimes. I'm like, dude, just go to meetings. I'm showing them the meeting schedule. I'm like, here, these are the ones that are in this area. And I always ask, where do you live? So I can try to find meetings that are closer to them, because I don't want them to feel like we're trying to hook them into OCB. You know, yes, we would love for them to get plugged in, but if it's not here, find somewhere. You know, one of the things I always say is, you know, I've got the best sponsor. If you don't agree, find a new one. I'm the same way about my home group, you know. I go through periods of, is this where I want to stay? Is this where I want to continue to be? And then I'll go to other meetings and I'll see things, and not necessarily bad, good, bad, or indifferent. I'll just see things and I'm like, okay, yes, we do that. No, we don't do that. We need to. And so I can bring that back. And so if I'm still doing that, even when I'm in that period of, is this where my home group is really going to stay? Is this where I'm going to stay plugged in? I know in my spirit that yes, because if I didn't care about my home group, I wouldn't want them to get better. I wouldn't want us to get better and us to stay, cohesive. We don't have to always get along and we don't have to always agree to be cohesive. You know, as long as we are not cussing at each other, throwing chairs, calling each other names, you know, as long as we can keep it, you can get loud. I don't care. Get loud. I've dealt with that. You know, you can cuss. Don't cuss at me, but you can cuss because I cuss. I get all of that. And if we move through that, then we can stay cohesive. And if we're cohesive, then we will grow and we will make recovery look amazing for the newcomer or the old timer that's moving here from another state or another city, you know, because it's not always about the person that's just now walking through the door. Sometimes people, I've lived in other cities and other countries. And, you know, when I'm sitting there and I feel like the newcomer and no one approaches me, I get a little, I don't know, it just feels weird. And so because I've felt that, I don't want new people to feel that. If I don't know you, I'm going to do my best to at least come give you a hug and tell you thank you for coming. I don't care how much time you have, because at the end of the day, don't we all just have one day? That's what I keep hearing. You know, I have today, and I'm grateful for today. I'm grateful that my home group has that mentality, you know, for the most part. Again, we're not perfect people. Right now, my home group is actually doing the hospitality suite. And so before I came here, I was over there cutting pizza and serving it, you know. And when I get done with this, I'm going to be back in the hospitality suite, cleaning up and doing what I need to do, because that's my home group. And I'm proud of my home group, because that's what it says. We take pride in our group. I'm proud of my home group. I'm proud of what we do. It may not always totally benefit me, but it's not about me today. I get to remember that with my home group. So my husband and I lived overseas for a little while, and then when we came back, you know, the home group I had when I left didn't feel like home anymore. You know, a lot happens when you move. You don't have to live overseas. You just have to move. And come back, because that river still flows. And so I was looking for a home group, and I had one before our common bond. And I was there for, you know, a couple of years, but I never felt cemented. You know, I never felt like I could be myself, and I knew I was being loved through being myself. But where I am now, I truly feel like I'm at home. You know, and I was sharing with some people earlier that, you know, I'm not really sure. I am. You know, after reading the literature and sitting here and listening to myself, I know I'm not bullshitting y'all. You know, I know for a fact that my heart is in my home group, and I've made the commitment to be there. I've made the commitment to bring my best self to that group, and I've made the commitment to do the best that I can to be a better recovering addict, you know? Isn't there like a poster child for that shit? I could do that. Yeah. I'm grateful. You know, I was a little concerned about this topic. I ain't even going to lie. And then again, like I said, you know, the committee came out of the literature and I was like, holy shit, they know what they're talking about. Cause this is important. You know, you don't realize how important a home group is until you find one that you really fit in. At least me, I try not to speak yous for me because I don't know y'all. but for me, I didn't realize how important a home group was, but when I'm feeling at home and loved unconditionally, I can compare that to where I was over 19 years ago, and that's not where I thought I was home and loved, but I knew it wasn't unconditional, and now I know it wasn't even home or love that I had. So I'm really grateful for this topic today, now that I've, you know, read, because our literature is pretty amazing. If you don't have it, you should get it. And just in case you're wondering, this topic came out of Guiding Principles. You know, so it's like out of tradition stuff, you know? So if it's in the, dude, they're talking about home groups in the third tradition. That's some serious shit, man. Cause you know, that's where we don't judge other addicts. You know, we don't judge people. It's not for us to say who's going to make it and who's not. So thank you very much for coming to this workshop and listening to me share on my home group. That's all I got.
Thank you so much, Jennifer, for sharing your experience, strength, and hope. And our next speaker is going to be
my cheerleader.
I was going to say.
And no, we didn't call each other and color coordinate y'all.
Even the shoes are matching y'all.
My name's Bobby. I'm an addict.
Hey, Bobby.
And I also want to thank the Hackney Committee for allowing me to participate in this deal. Like she said, it is an honor, man, to be able to help any way I can in this deal. Anything I can give back to Narcotics Anonymous, I'm willing to do pretty much. I just want to start out by telling y'all that back in 07, when I had a relapse in 07 and came back to Narcotics Anonymous, and what I wanted to do more than anything was to not do what I had done before, because I flushed 4.5 years down the drain. On my clean date is May 27th of 07, and for that I am very, very grateful. But the one thing that I wanted to do most was not fall short in any department of my recovery on this go-round. And so one of the main things that I did do this time around was any commitment I could find in my early recovery, I dumped on it because y'all told me service would keep me clean. So I was able to, while in treatment, we had a home group that was dying in my area. And it was, I'm going to put it out there, it was Get It Together group, and it's held at our treatment center there in the Cabana area, and it was dying, man, and the sponsor I had at the time, because I made it my business to get a sponsor as early as possible, so like I said, I didn't want to make anyone fall short in any department. So the sponsor that I had at the time, man, he insisted that, I was voluntold that we were going to bring that group back to life because it had lost any structure. It had fallen apart pretty much. And on any given night, on any given Sunday, there would be 120, 140 people in there. And it was just total chaos, man. And so what we were able to do is go in there and bring some type of structure back to the deal. And I considered that my home group for the first 3 years of my recovery this last time. And it was very interesting. And because I was listening to you share about we didn't roar. I mean, we didn't talk loud. At that meeting, I talked loud. I would bark at these addicts because they were 30 days and less or 60 days and less. And I would get a little irate sometime. Because at this time, man, I knew this is what I wanted to do, and there was no qualms about it. I knew I was about to embark on this deal, and I was going to be here to stay. And that's the way I would handle it, man. I would let them know that this is not playtime anymore. This is your lives are at stake, and I wouldn't say it nicely. I just wouldn't. But over time, like you say, we mellow out a little bit, and we don't. You know, I still get a little irate at times because I love this thing, man. I love this thing with everything in me, and I don't mind letting somebody know that. The people that know me know that I would do just about anything or help anybody in this thing that I can do. And so that's the attitude that I took, man, and that's the attitude I continue to take today. I've had three home groups since I got clean. The second one was... No, it was yours. Shot of Hope. Yeah, the Shot of Hope group of and it was also on the way. It was on its way out. I switched them around. It started off with Shot of Hope, and then it went to the But anyway, we got a chance to. Also bring that group back to life. I don't know what it is about the sponsors that I get, but this was a different sponsor also. And he chose to, we would pick, I mean, on, this I'm nervous, y'all. I know. And I know these people, they know me. I don't know why I'm tripping. They hear me talk all the damn time, you know? So I don't even know why I'm up here tripping. But anyway. Oh, yeah, I'm telling you. But I would, you know, we would go. I'm still in treatment. We would go to this place, and every night that we were supposed to be there, open this group up, and it started off, we wouldn't be but five or six of us in there. And that's the way it was for maybe 2 months. And it grew to what it is today, which I know y'all have at least 50 members on Rich. So, I mean, I've been able to play a part in that stuff. You know what I mean? And I had a little, like the part that you just read, it was saying that I had a little something to do with that. And I wear that, man. I wear that with pride, man, because, you know, it just happens in the area that we live in is some of them grow fast and some of them deplete fast, you know, and that's just the way it goes. But my home group that I have now is, they call us we're already well group. I didn't say old. I said, well, on any given night, there's 200 years of recovery in there on the nights that we're open, which is Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, which is the stepping up group of Narcotics Anonymous in Corpus Christi, Texas. Come and see us at 6:30. You know, and the reason I love this group is because, like you say, as we evolve, my recovery evolves with me. So I get a chance to pick up. I mean, some of these people were the people that I started getting clean with, and they continued to get clean when I went back out. And they were, you know, but they still accepted me into the group, and I give. Whatever they need from me, I give. The only position I haven't held in that group is the GSR because I don't like Ariel. So, but and anybody that knows me knows that any other thing that I can do, any physical thing that I can do to help this, to help my area, really, I'm willing to do. But I don't do the, I don't do that, man. I don't like the controversy. I just don't. I mean, And I had the pleasure of chairing our local convention that we have down there on the beach, and the only way that I was able to do that was the support of the people that know me, man. And you know, and that's what we do. We carry this message any way we can find to do it. I'm gonna read a little bit out of the book, man, because you made me do it. Okay, it says it's worth the group's time to consider what information is important and how to share it clearly and consistently. The principles are the same throughout Narcotics Anonymous, but each community and each group has a distinct way of doing things. And we do, I mean, we do it what we're comfortable with. And what we're comfortable with is the format that was laid out when we got there, and we follow it. I don't try to wane from it because it doesn't need it. They say if it's not broke, don't fix it. So we keep on, we do the things we need to do. But my home group is, and what they say is, if your home, you don't think your home group is the best home group, you might want to change home groups. So, I mean, I'm comfortable where I'm at, man, because they, like, I'm just like the guy on Cheers, walk in there and everybody knows your name, you know what I mean? And I'm cool with that. Well, pretty much in corporate, because I kind of stand out and shit. But I'm just saying. But I get a chance, man, to give back a little bit of this what was freely given to me. That weighs tons with me. I'm really passionate about this program because, like the lady was sharing next door, man, I wouldn't be here. I mean, I don't know where I'd be or what I'd be doing without this deal. And we can only do what we can do. I'm gonna get emotional, you know. Okay. Thank God the third tradition says that the only requirement for membership is the desire to stop using. I'm gonna read what it says in the book. The third tradition tells us that we do have a requirement for membership. We must have a desire to stop using. Still, it's not for anyone else to say whether we would qualify or not. I have to qualify myself. How do I go about qualifying myself? I go into this deal and I become a part of it. I don't just sit on the sidelines all the time and let everybody else do everything that needs to be done. I step up to the plate and I do a little something to be able to make this thing go smoother or just so I can feel like I'm a part of something. Because I came in this deal, I felt so far apart from everything to where I was really elated by the fact that y'all wanted to have anything to do with me, man. I'm serious about that. It was scary as hell. And I'm going to bring this up and I hope nobody gets offended, but in my area, I'm not the only reason I stand out is because I'm 6'5" and about 290 pounds, but there's not many of my people down there in that part of the, I'm just saying. No. Hey, look, but I'm gonna read this part right here. And this is what it means to me, man. And I'm not saying that, but we don't look at that shit. I wasn't raised that way. Okay, what I'm saying? I was not raised to look at that. My old man was in the service, so I've been around people all my fucking life, like all of us. I have never looked at that. I look at what you got on your inside. My dad taught me to do that as a kid. You look at a person's character. You don't look at that bullshit. And I still carry that today. This is my story right here. When I walked into my first meeting, there was no one there that looked like me. I'm not talking about this. But listen to me, y'all. Listen to me. There was no one there that looked. It says there was no one there that looked like me. But I made sure to stay so that the next newcomer who looked like me would feel like he could stay too. Yeah. And that's the reason I'm here, y'all. That's the reason I stayed. Because this is for all of us, man. It don't matter. Because we all dying out there in the streets, and we all come up in here and we can recover together. So I got to get real. Whatever keeps me here, whatever it is, I'm here. I'm here to stay. You know what I mean? So I have to look at all these little avenues that come up in the deal, man. I have to look at all the reasons I get to do what I do. And my home group, they, like you said, they know me better than anybody. I can walk in there and something's going on in my life, and my face tells my story. I don't have to say shit. They know me well enough to where, you know, what's going on with you? Let's go outside and talk, or whatever the case may be. I get to participate in my life today. I can never, never, ever give back to what this thing's given me. This is a kind of a funny topic, though. I mean, it's not something like, you know, with the meeting, but it is, but golly. Okay, I got one more thing over here underlined. It says groups cannot refuse an addict membership. So I get a chance, man. I mean, ain't no, everybody's welcome in this deal. I cannot pick and choose who I recover with. That's the hit and the miss of it, y'all. I'm stuck with you. You stuck with me, and I'm stuck with you. And they say you want to find something to laugh about. Look who you got to recover with, you know. So, no, it's hey, but you guys know, and y'all know me better than anybody does, because these people here, they loved me when I didn't have no love for myself, and I've been able to do the same for most of them. I believe in this thing with everything in me because it's proven itself to me. Because I was that addict that you had, I was going to make sure that I didn't have to do this program the way everybody else did it. So I wasted a lot of time out there trying to prove this thing wrong, that it didn't work. I finally got my ass whipped enough to where I had to come in and totally surrender to this deal, and I've been able to stay clean ever since. And that's what this thing means to me. You know, it's. I'm not sharing a whole bunch about the home group deal. I'm sharing about what this Narcotics Anonymous thing means to me, man. It's a way of life for me now, and I'm okay with that. I ain't got no whole much. I'm finna read this last part down here, and I don't know how long. Don't even worry about it, baby, because I ain't. I'm here to share what I got, and when I ain't got no more, I'm not finna sit up here and bullshit y'all. So, okay, it says we make a decision to join a home group. We might not know that we are. Wait, what is he about to fall in love? Mm-hmm. I fell in love with this deal, man. Still, much of the time, that's what happens. We take pride in our group, and we are glad to see people recover in the atmosphere we help create. And that's what I do in my area every day, man. I get to work with the guys. I run a recovery house, and I'm blessed with the fact that I get to watch these guys grow, and I get to watch them go, and they get to go on with their lives, and just all the small stuff that comes along with it. He said, we come to love our group, the members in it, and the place we meet. Our willingness to act in a spiritual unity and service opens the door for all addicts who care to join us. And that's what it's all about, man. We keep the doors open, even when there's nobody in there but me and another addict sometimes. And I remember those days. It's just like when I was doing H&I, I mean, sometimes I would be the only one show up, but I had to do what it needed to be done at that time, man. And I get a chance to do that with you people. And I love each and every one of y'all, man, because y'all are just like me. And we all trying to find our way through this deal, man. And that's pretty much all I got. Thanks. Yeah.